Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop for another edition of our Straight Talk program presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Our thanks as well to Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care. PiedmontMedicalCenter.com is where you can find out all about them. Today we're going to be talking a little bit about politics with the outgoing and the new chairs of the Republican Party here in York County. Mr. Larry Barnett, who is now officially out, and his successor, Scott Anderson, who is officially in. So, gentlemen, welcome to Straight Talk. I'm glad that both of you are here and willing to sit here and talk to me about Republican politics.
Glad to be here.
Okay, so let's start with you, Larry, since you're the outgoing guy. Tell us a little bit about you, your background.
My name's Larry Barnett. I was born in Seneca, South Carolina. I'm 78 years old. I've been in York County in Fort Mill for about 38, 39 years. I graduated from the University of South Carolina with a degree in mechanical engineering. Been involved in politics off and on most of my life, particularly the last 15 years since I retired. I've gotten more involved and spent a lot of time doing off and on, comes and goes.
All right. Okay, Scott, your turn.
Okay, and again, appreciate you having us on. Scott Anderson, just been elected last Saturday as this chairman of the GOP. I also am a recovering engineer, and I've been in the county now for about 10 years, been involved in local politics fairly recently. After the events of 2020, it seemed like a good idea to maybe get a hold of the rope and pull a little bit, and so under Larry's tutelage for the last few years, I've learned quite a bit, and we're excited about what we have in front of us.
Well, it is interesting. As I was chatting with both of you before the program began, I've been here long enough, a little over 40 years, that I can remember when you came to York County, nobody knew what a Republican was. They had no idea. And yet here we are today, and it's really quite the reverse. I mean, the Republican Party is dominant in this area. Do you have any idea what's that attributable to? Why has it been so successful for the GOP? Either one of you?
Go ahead, Larry.
Well, I think part of it was social issues. The people in South Carolina and the Southeast in general tend to be very conservative socially, and the Democratic Party is not. The Democratic Party is very liberal in regards to social issues like right to life, religion, various social issues. And I think most of the people in the South, particularly in South Carolina, drifted away from the Democratic Party, but mainly because of social issues.
You would agree with that?
Sounds good to me. I would say that there's a phrase going around from former Democrats, and they say, I didn't leave the Democrat Party. The Democrat Party left me. And there's a, you know, for those of us who pay attention to the various issues, the Democrat Party has really, it's like they're heading for the cliff, and they just want to hit the accelerator. they're in a rough spot right now, and you know, I mean, you look at the national level, you look at folks like RFK Jr., I mean, a Kennedy, for Pete's sake, who has left their party, and you know, according to that perspective, he's gone to the dark side. He's joined Trump and the populist revolution, really, that's kind of taken over.
You know, this election that we just went through in 2024 was really historic, something that they'll be writing about for a long time.
Agreed.
A guy who was, whether you like him or not, it's immaterial. He was beaten to a pulp by his opposition the 4 years he was in there originally, beaten to a pulp the 4 years he was out. But he never caved. He just kept using that as energy to go back out there and achieve what nobody thought was possible. But he did it.
It's amazing. It's an amazing time to be alive and to be an observer of politics, and it's more of a global movement, really. I mean, you look at Milei in Argentina, you look at Bukele in El Salvador, Meloni in Italy. Everywhere you look, populists are gaining favor with the electorate.
Well, I guess the people are fed up with what they've had for the last number of years, and so they're trying to turn it around. Okay, so when we sit here and we talk about Republican politics here locally, are you having, getting somebody to run for office seems to be a growing challenge because everybody has work commitments, they got family commitments, and whatever elected job you're in, whether it be the school board or whether it be the city council or the county council or state office, it takes a lot of time. Not agree with Larry?
Absolutely. Takes a lot of time.
So does it? I mean, you've been doing this as the chair for the last couple of years. Is it getting more difficult to find people who will run for office?
I can't say that it's more difficult. I've been doing this for a long time, and we've always had problems finding people who are willing to run for office, particularly people who are willing to run for office for the right reasons and not for the wrong reasons. And that's the challenge.
So when you do this canvassing, if there's an open slot, and you get some interest from whoever it might be, when you vet that candidate, what kinds of questions are you asking them to make sure they are the right person, for this slot? What are you asking them?
Well, ask them where they stand on the various issues. Where is their stance on school choice, for instance? We have one of the worst school systems in the nation. We've had Republicans in control of our state for over 20 years, yet we're ranked as one of the worst school systems in the country, in this state. Same with the roads. When I was a kid, we had a reputation of having some of the best roads in the nation. 50 years later, we have a reputation of having amongst the worst roads in the nation. We have the highest taxes in the Southeast. We have the biggest government, and we have more government employees per 1,000 people than most of the other states surrounding us. So there's a lot of things going on that attracts my interest, and I ask people, do you see that? Do you understand what's going on? And do you want to help us correct these problems? Do you understand the problems that we have?
Do you expect that candidate to be in lockstep with, the platform, as it were?
Certainly, I don't think there's anybody that's going to agree with me 100% of the time. But we do look for people that agree with us 75-80% of the time. And I think most people who claim to be Republicans probably agree on 75 or more of a percent of the more of the problems that we're dealing with.
So, Scott, you now have the job of, I guess, heading up whatever committee you call about the candidates committee, I'll call it. Is this the same approach that you would take in terms of talking to people about whether they want to run or not?
Well, in my last 2 years of relatively heavy involvement, it's not clear to me that we've been out recruiting so much as once people have put themselves forward, vetting them. And you're right, we put together a committee and there are things to look at, like, well, do they come to our meetings? Are they actually active and in Republican politics to start with? So most folks come with at least some track record. Most folks that put themselves forward are not necessarily, blank slates that were starting from scratch. So that's helpful.
And when you get into a situation where you have a primary within your own party, the party itself tries to stay out of that in terms of we prefer this candidate or that candidate? You're shaking your head no, Larry.
I don't want to stay out of it. We being the local county parties, have stayed out of the elections during the primary and not showed any preference. I don't understand why we need to do that. If we're the Republican Party and we're the grassroots portion of the Republican Party, why should we not have a say-so? Have to be very careful, because if we start endorsing a candidate, we don't want to divide our membership, so we need to be very careful that by far the majority, two-thirds or three-quarters of our membership are on board with, if we're going to endorse somebody, that they're on board with it. So we do it, but we do it very carefully. We have a committee who investigates the various candidates and decides whether we may need to consider endorsing one or not. If they say yes, we need to consider this candidate, then we take it to the executive committee and ask the executive committee to vote on who we want to endorse this candidate or not.
So that can get pretty sticky.
It can, but it's the proper way of doing it. We have 100 precincts in York County. Every precinct has a executive committee member who has a vote on our executive committee, if they're organized. Now, we have 17 precincts. We have no Republicans in them right now. We've got 83 out of their precincts organized.
So I guess that's a job for you, right, Scott? Get the other 13?
Well, 17? That's part of it. Yeah. That's part of it. One thing I'd like to say is that not every county, as I understand it, not every county runs their county by the book. And one thing that Larry has been absolutely scrupulous about these last 2 years is doing things the right way. And just what he just described, we put together a nominations committee. They vetted the candidates for the various characteristics and then put the evidence in front of our executive committee where we put it to a vote. And if it wasn't a clear-cut choice, then we did not endorse a candidate in the primary. But there were several instances where it was a clear-cut choice. We got two-thirds, actually it was more than that, but supporting the idea of supporting a particular candidate in the primary. So
not getting an endorsement, if there was a couple of candidates running for a particular job, not getting the endorsement of the party, I guess, is kind of like kiss of death, because you're going to need the party to help you get people out to the polls, correct?
Well, not necessarily, as we learned. Not all of our endorsements won, but we certainly feel like it's an advantage for somebody that's a conservative Republican running in a primary.
So if I'm a candidate and I want to do this job, and you think I'm worthy of doing it, I can do it. I know what I'm going to put in, my blood, sweat, and treasure. What is a party going to bring to help me out?
If we like you as a candidate, we're going to support you in every way we can. That means raising money where we can. That means putting out signs. That means going around knocking on doors, putting out door hangers, helping develop advertising campaigns. Right away, we help a candidate if we like the candidate and would like to see him be elected.
It's all about people, all about, you know, boots on the ground, is it not? I mean, that's...
Absolutely.
Despite all the electronic age we live in now, it's still boots on the ground?
I don't think it's nearly as effective now as it was 20 years ago. The social media has, has made a much bigger difference in influencing candidates and how people vote than knocking on doors. I've spent a lot of time over the years knocking on doors, a lot of hours, and my experience was that you knock on 10 doors, you're only going to find one person at home, and they may or may not talk to you. Social media gets out to a lot of people very quickly.
Yeah, but you got to watch out for the social media message, because they could say whatever they want to say, and nobody's there to say, that ain't correct. That ain't right.
True. Very true.
So it's a problem.
It is.
Would you say that here in York County, despite those who are members of the Republican Party who showed up in mass at that convention this past Saturday, I mean, that was a full house. There was standing room only over there at Rawlinson Road Middle School. Would you say that the general public out there, when it comes to local politics, are they engaged or are they disengaged?
20 years ago, you go to a Republican Party meeting here in York County, you might have 30, 40 people. I watched the party I was involved off and on for 20 years, and you would never have more than about 150, maybe 200 members of the Republican Party. The Republican Party goes through what's called reorganization every 2 years when we elect new precinct executive committee people, new precinct presidents, new county presidents, new county executive committee people, and new state chair and state executive committee people. We do that every 2 years. Nobody knows about that.
That's right.
Nobody knows about that. And there's a particular reason, and the reason is the Republican Party does not want people to know about it. They want the party to be as small as possible so they can control it more easily. And that's basically what's been happening. Here in the last 4 years after the 2020 election, that woke a lot of people up to something's going on. We need to start paying attention. That's when I really got back in. I took about an 8-year hiatus and just backed away a lot from politics. 2021 in January, I got back involved, recognizing that more people were starting to pay attention and listening to what was going on. We now have over 500 members in the Republican Party here in York County. We have a monthly meeting. We'll have anywhere from 60 to 120 people attending. So we've completely changed the direction. We're actually using the monthly meetings as an educational tool to explain to people how politics really works in the state, how their representatives are actually voting, We track their voting records. We look at how bills are passed, what kind of bills are being considered, and how do they pass them down there? Why can we not get a bill out of a subcommittee or a committee? And they have a method down there if you want to get something passed, and they don't want it passed, it never gets out of committee and never gets to the floor. And people are beginning to understand that. Now, it's been a big secret over the years. Back in 2008, 2010, I was involved. They did not even record their votes down there in the Senate or the House. We had no idea how our representatives were voting. We spent about 2 years working very hard to try to get them to start recording votes. Nikki Haley actually helped us make that happen. And now, at least on the floor in the Senate and the House, in most instances, they do record their votes. So we have some idea of how our representatives are actually voting down there.
So issues that we hear all about in Washington, D.C., are similar issues that we have here in the state of South Carolina.
Absolutely.
All politics is not what we think it is.
Nope.
Well, what I would say to your original question is that I think most people get there that are even interested in politics get their information from television. And that's 100% about the federal government. That's what's going on in D.C.,
sure.
And that's the headline day and night. You watch Fox News, for example, or CNN or anything else, that's what they're talking about. So there really is a lot less awareness of the local issues unless you make a concerted effort. And one of the goals of our organization going forward is to help people understand why they might want to get involved locally. We don't have a great big TV station for them to plug into to learn about that. So it's a bit of a challenge, but if it was easy, anybody could do it,
yeah.
Manny.
You know, we all fight for people's time, and people are so distracted. I don't care what medium you use, you're only going to get a slice of that pie that's going to be paying attention. And unfortunately, when the slice that's not paying attention becomes as big as it's become,
right,
then you end up in a situation like we had in 2020. And again, trying to put Democrat and Republican labels aside, the president we had from 2020 to 2024, he just did not do a good job.
Who was that again?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But he, he just, I mean, I can't fathom the immigration issue, how he allowed that to happen and how those around him allowed that to happen. But it happened. And we're getting fixed pretty quickly, but it's happened, and it's changed America forever. I mean, and that's what happens when people don't get involved. If they don't raise their voices and say, I ain't going to take this anymore.
It's why I'm here.
Yeah, gotcha. So we're going to take our mid-program break, remind everybody that they are listening to Straight Talk, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax Here with Founders, and by Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Good Pharmacy is with us, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. So we got two rookies here, but I know they're smart guys. We make fresh subs and salads here at Substation 2. We do it 6 days a week between 10 in the morning and 9 o'clock at night. Now we need to tell all those people out there why they need to get in here, and it's all about this magic formula that's in the white letters that we're going to recite together. Kevin, are you ready now at the count of three? One, two, three.
Slice. Garden.
Not bad. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI and CN2.
What's hot at Substation 2? The new hot beef brisket sandwich. Brisket is smoked tender beef, sliced to order, served hot and delicious, and gardened your way. This is a limited time offer, so titillate your taste buds today with a hot beef brisket sandwich at Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
If your primary care physician has recommended surgery for a medical condition and non-invasive medical treatments are not an option, you may want to talk to your surgeon about new, less invasive surgical techniques. At Piedmont Medical Center, we use Da Vinci Robotic Surgery, a robot-assisted system controlled by your surgeon designed to allow for greater surgical precision during many general GYN and urology procedures that potentially offers you a quicker recovery. Learn more online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care, because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
There are very few genuine money managers in America, and one just happens to be your neighbor. If you have $100,000 or more, call the professionals at Anderson Griggs Investments and see what a money manager can do for you. Anderson Griggs, 324-5044, or go online to andersongriggs.com.
We know the type. You like to start early, finish late, make lemon squares, and make payments to the college fund from anywhere in the house. We know you rely on Comporium for things you rely on most, like a view of the backyard. That's just a bunny. And hundreds of channels to watch whenever you want. So you may think of us as just your internet company, but we're more like the I didn't know they could do all that company. Comporia, always ready.
Love our subs? Want to find the fastest way to get here? Just say, hey Siri, take me to Substation 2 in Rock Hill.
Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill, and it gets 4 stars on Yelp.
Even faster, order online at mysubstationii.com. Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Larry Barnett, the outgoing chair of the Republican Party here in York County, is joined by Scott Anderson, who is the brand new chair as of this past Saturday. And we're talking politics all over the place. So there was something stirring within the Republican Party here the last couple of weeks that I think was kind of rearing its head at the convention, although it never I never heard it officially said. And that's the question was how the GOP here in York County was going to conduct its primaries. Were you going to have primaries where candidates got to face off with each other? Or was their executive committee or whatever committee going to select the candidate and tell the party, here's who we're going to have? Am I right or wrong about that?
Well, I'm going to frame it a little differently.
Please.
I don't believe that the controversy that leading up to our reorg process this year was so much about York County, per se. I think it had more to do with the statewide, where our primaries throughout the state are what are known as open primaries, which right. means anybody can go vote. We would much prefer closed primaries, where Republicans vote in Republican primaries and Democrats vote in Democrat primaries, and which just seems to kind of make sense. But apparently there are interests against that, so we don't have that. We have open primaries. Democrats can vote in our primaries, and certain places Republicans can vote in Democrat primaries. So we don't like that approach. Somebody floated the alternative idea of using a caucus and or convention approach to selecting candidates for office, nominating and selecting candidates for office. And boy, did that get a reaction. The state level folks really tried to make a lot of hay with that by making the case that if you go that way, then you're eliminating a lot of people's opportunity to participate in the political process, which I find to be really confusing because the GOP itself, you saw it at the convention. We use a caucus and convention process to select our own leaders, including the guys up in Columbia who were complaining about using a convention process. So I'm not really clear about that. And by the way, everybody is able to participate in that process. It's open to any, got to be a registered voter, probably prefer you're a citizen, but but I don't know about that.
Maybe.
And so it's open to everybody, and it's a different way of doing it than we do it now, so there's that. But I really was confused by the critique that that the state-level folks were making of that alternative.
So we've had an open primary system here, like, forever, as long as I can remember. Who actually has the authority to change that? Is that the state Republican Party or the state Democratic Party? I mean, how does that work?
Can I give you a little history on
Please do.
On this? In the last 10 or 12 years on the primary ballot, on three occasions, there has been a question, would you like to have closed primaries or not? In all three cases, over 75% of the people voting in the Republican primary says, yes, we prefer to have closed primaries. In 2015, the state executive committee passed a resolution saying we want closed primaries. In the South Carolina Republican Party platform, one of the primary tenets of that platform is we won't close primaries. So for 15 or 20 years, we've been asking in every way we can for closed primaries. To this day, we don't have closed primaries. A lady in Richland actually came out with the idea that the state constitution allows us to, a certified political party can choose to use a primary system or a convention system to select their candidates. That's in the state constitution. Because we were not able to get closed primaries at one point in time, they said, well, let's just suggest caucus and see what happens. And boy, we got a very negative response. And they're trying to say that we want to keep people out of the process. That is absolutely not true. All we want to do is keep Republicans only voting in the Republican primary, not independents and not Democrats helping us select our Republican candidates.
Yeah. If you're going to defeat a candidate, defeat them at the general election and not in the primaries.
Yes.
You get to. Right. So you're stuck. Is that what you're telling me? You just keep making noise?
Well, my understanding to your original question is that in order to go from open to closed primaries, they got to pass a law. That the legislature has to pass a law.
I'm not sure that's quite true. The state has an executive committee, which basically consists of one executive committee person from each county, along with the county, the state chair. We also have a state convention every 2 years. That state convention can change anything. If we vote in a state convention to go for closed primaries, then we could force the legislature, I think, to go to closed primaries. If the convention says we want to go to a convention system as opposed to primaries, then I think the state would go to a convention system. So it's not necessarily, I don't think, up to the legislature. I think the state convention can change that.
Well, based on what you were telling me, the history of this, there's a lot of support for a closed primary
there
system.
There is.
But nobody's getting it to the floor for a vote at the state level?
You can't get it out of committee.
Well, now you know how the sausage is made, right? Surely there must be some parliamentary way to force it out of committee. None? Absolutely none.
Nope.
All right. So when is the next state convention?
May the 3rd.
May 3rd.
Yes.
So is somebody from York County GOP going to try to bring this thing up again?
Every county has a certain number of delegates to the state convention. York County has 49 delegates going. That subject will most likely not be brought up. The people that control the convention make sure nothing comes up that they don't want to come up.
That's how it is.
Yeah. It's like Ralph Norman said. He said, you know, the process is kind of ugly, but it is democracy, and that's the way, unfortunately, it works.
It's not necessarily always fair, unfortunately, in South Carolina. The way it's conducted here in a number of instances is not necessarily a really democratic process. It's a rigged system with predetermined results, and that happens very frequently at a county level and at a state level.
Well, with that happy note, we have to say goodbye. Our 30 minutes is up. So we've got to do this again, right?
That was fast.
That was good. And that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program live from Substation 2. Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Mille Lacs Super Founders, and by Caporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Okay, while they're congratulating themselves, we're going to see if they remember what to do here. We have fresh subs and salads. We do it 6 days a week between 10 in the morning and 9 o'clock at night. The outside people need to understand what goes on inside, and it's in the white letters. That's why people come back here every day. At the count of three, let's tell them, 1, 2, 3.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Have yourself a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.